Heather Gray, the Lyme boss here. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and bioenergetic practitioner. And maybe you feel like crap. And that's why you need to listen to these high-level experts that I have on my show every week. Whether it's Lyme disease, mold toxicity, autoimmune, mental health issues, weight, cancer, you fill in the blank. I guarantee you, you will find something inspiring, entertaining, something that'll give you hope, practical advice that you can take home at the end of every episode. I highly thank you for joining us, and you're going to just love this next guest. Let's welcome today's special guest, Ms. Nicole Bell. Yay! Thank you for joining us to the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It is so exciting. I remember the first time I heard you speak. I can't remember who it was through because I've seen you a few times since. And it might have been the fly-in, the partner in Lyme stuff. And I was just fascinated. I was like, this girl is on it. Like, and you have turned tragedy, you know, into amazing, beautiful things. And I talk about quite often the gifts of Lyme, right? And sometimes people kill me and I get like hate mail because I talk that way. But really, there's gifts in it all. And I just am so excited to dive in deeper onto who you are, you know, what's your story, what's your background. Tell us a little bit about Nicole.
Oh, geez. Well, I guess first and foremost, I'm a Boston girl. I grew up just south of the city. I am an engineer by training. So I went to undergraduate and graduate school at MIT. So I like to solve problems, right? So I've always liked math and science and kind of gravitated towards engineering.
Smart and beautiful. It's such a powerful combination. That was one of the reasons I was drawn to you. I was like, ooh, look at her brain.
Thank you. After I graduated MIT, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I've worked in small companies. My MIT professor recruited me like right out of college and for his startup company. And I caught the bug, right? I just love that environment where you're everything from the CEO to the mail clerk, right? You just do everything. And then mid-career, I went back to school and first half of my career, I was more in electronics and semiconductors. And then mid-career was when I went back to school. I got another master's degree from Duke University, which is what brought me to North Carolina, which is where I live now. And I studied biomedical engineering. And since then, I've been in medical devices. I was in diagnostics for a while. I was in surgical robotics. Really, again, all in small companies. I did the big company thing for 2 years, just long enough to realize it wasn't for me. And let's see, personally, I have two kids, I have two dogs, like to do lots of outdoor activities, always been an athlete, kind of like sports, so I guess that's the quick summary.
What kind of dogs?
So they're rat terriers. They're like Jack Russells, but calmer.
Oh, that definitely makes a difference. And how old are your kids?
So my son, Ryan, is 13, almost 14. And my daughter, Haley, is 10.
Ew, you still haven't gotten to the really fun years yet.
Nope, we're getting there. My son is turning the corner on that. So yeah,
he's in beware. Yeah, it is not for the thin skinned. Mine's 20 and I still don't know how we made it out those last couple of years. It was crazy. So what do you like to do for fun? Like what makes Nicole tick? What makes, you know, what jazzes you up?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've always been an athlete. So I soccer, basketball, tennis was kind of my thing when I was younger. I haven't played soccer or tennis in a long time, but I like to coach my kids in basketball. So I coached my son for years and now I've kind of graduated him on to other people and I'm coaching my daughter. I've always liked being outside. So hiking, the beach, you know, one thing I love about North Carolina is you're 2 hours from the beach or 2 hours from the mountains. So you can kind of do.
That sounds ideal.
It's fantastic. You know, you can go to the beach. What part am I living? I live right near Raleigh, Durham.
Okay.
So right near Research Triangle Park, which is great because it's a good university and, entrepreneurial culture, which I really love. But like I said, 2 hours to the beach, you can walk the beach for miles or, 2 hours to the mountains and you can be out hiking and you can't really ski, which is kind of a bummer. I do miss skiing, at least just deciding to go ski, but lots of other activities that I really enjoy.
I am the worst Coloradan ever. They should take away my Colorado card. I've been here since 96. I do not ski. I went once when I was seven. Nobody told me what a Black Diamond Run was. Went straight from a bunny slope, back Diamond Run, and then had to be like evacuated, like emergency off the mountain. It was very traumatic. I re-went again this last Christmas for the first time as an adult.
Yeah.
Actually caught on pretty quick. Still not my thing.
Yeah.
Still not my thing. Yeah. So I'm a horrible Coloradan. So yeah, you can come visit and you can go ski.
I would love it. I haven't taken my kids yet and they keep bugging me, but you know, it's hard with all the gear and all the things just to do it for one person with two kids. It's going to like daunting.
So. Forget about it. So what's your connection with Lyme, without getting too much into the meatier part of the story, but kind of back us up, and because most folks don't usually play around in the Lyme world unless they've got a story to tell, because it's such a complicated, complex, you know, controversial, all the C's, right?
Yep. No, I mean, I always liked what Nicole Malachowski said, you know, you're recruited to the army by a tick, right? It hits you personally in one way or the other. And for me, it was my husband. You know, it wasn't me. I haven't, as far as I know, I haven't had any tick-borne illness. But my husband, all of a sudden, he was also an engineer, also an entrepreneur. We met in my first startup. And we were really just a great match together. We were both very similar interests. We both just got along really well. One of those things where we never really fought. We just kind of debated, you know, and got to the right answer. It was really a nice relationship. And then all of a sudden he became pretty much a jerk, right? Like he was becoming mean and he was irrational. He was moody. He was irritable. He became depressed, anxious. And I thought it was lifestyle changes. You know, we had had two young children. And so that changes everything. He had stepped back from his career so that he could be Mr. Mom. And I was like, well, maybe this just isn't working for you. You should go back to work because whatever you're doing is not working. And, we tried that. We tried therapy. Nothing was really helping. And then all of a sudden, I realized his memory was starting to have issues. And so he was forgetting basic things like the time to pick up the kids and the 4-digit code to our house alarm and just basic things that, you know, he was a computer scientist, an electrical engineer, like he was brilliant. And all of a sudden he was just failing on very basic tasks. And I was like, okay, this is not right. Something is wrong. And through a long winding journey, we figured out that it was tick-borne illness. And that's what's kind of sucked me into the space.
You know, I can't say enough. I try to educate mental health professionals any chance I get, because, you know, my first couple things myself was, you know, suicide attempts when I was 15 years old, you know, and people weren't trying to figure out why this 15-year-old was trying to off herself. Instead, they just medicated me and sent me out the door, you know, to where if the mental health professionals at that time would have been educated in Lyme disease, you know, who knows how much different my life would have been 27 years being undiagnosed. So there's another example of somebody kind of falling through the cracks, because a lot of times it will present as mood changes, right? And so one of my PSAs these days is to be nice to the Karens in the world, right? Right? Like if you meet a Karen, like people don't act that way if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Healthy people don't act that way. So give them a little compassion, because you don't know what kind of brain inflammation, what kind of stuff that they might be going on in their body. So it sounds like that your husband kind of fell through that crack as well.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, and I didn't know really at the time, because you just think, oh, you're unhappy, or you come up, you know, the stories you tell yourself, right? You know, they're often not right. And I think that I missed a lot of the sign. You justify things that you know, and also things happen gradually, right? It's not like we didn't have that story where it's like all of a sudden I couldn't walk, or all of a sudden I was chronically fatigued, or all of a sudden it was this, you know, in retrospect, I realized it was really something that came on over, you know, probably the course of a decade. And when something like that happens, you just don't see it in the same way, you know? And so it's like when your kids grow up, right? People who haven't seen your kids in a while are like, oh my gosh, they've changed so much. You're like, well, really? And and so that was our story. And as a result, it really just went unrealized until like that memory issue. Then that was when I realized there was something pathological. But at that point, we were well down the path, right? I mean, to get to the point where you're really forgetting basic things, a lot of damage had been done.
And it's taking everything I have to hold back tears, because I know how the story ends.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to We're going to take a quick break for a commercial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There's a new word for wellness, Nikki. Nikki, the bioenergetic wearable designed to help you feel better and perform better. Other wearables just track how you're doing. Nikki is about helping you do better. Nikki takes bioenergetic frequency science to a new level and onto your wrist. Nikki technology carries frequencies into the body to organize and optimize cellular network, the trillions of cells that communicate by light and frequencies to keep us alive and feeling our best. Physical and mental trauma can upset cellular communication, and Nikki is designed to help restore it. Touch the Nikki screen to choose the frequency you want for what you want to do and how you want to feel. Low energy? Touch energy for a boost. Stressed out? Stress and anxiety is to calm you down. Aches and pains? Choose Nikki Pain. Nikki has frequency sets intended to fight allergies, strengthen immunity, and keep viruses and bacteria at bay. If you're going on a trip and want to arrive fresh and ready to enjoy your vacation, touch travel. And if you want to wake up ready to go, Nikki Nighttime is for overcoming daytime trauma while you sleep. Every Nikki comes loaded with a full inventory of frequency set, including pain, energy, travel, immune, stress and anxiety, viruses and bacteria, allergies, insomnia, daytime bundles, nighttime bundles. Nikki puts a personal wellness center in your hands and on your wrist.
Make sure to go to my website, thelineboss.com, and you'll find Nikki on the resource section. Make sure to use the Line Boss for a 10% off discount. Stay tuned.
All right, welcome back. So we're going to dive deeper into using tragedy to power change, because, you know, that whole dark night of the soul, that's part of the reason why I do this podcast, is bringing hard topics right to the light, because that's how people heal. And I'm still choking back tears. And we haven't even gotten there yet. So you go ahead and take over the rest of the story, Nicole.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So, you know, I talked about my husband's symptoms and how they emerged. And so one of the first things I did is take him to the doctor. And he was a hunter. He always did all the landscaping in our house. We lived all over the country. And so I had him tested for Lyme disease, because that was the first thing when I started researching. I'm like, you know, he's been bitten by a lot of ticks. Let's get him tested. And he tested negative. We had the Western blot, and he was only one band.
Of course he did.
I know. But I didn't know at the time, you know, the common story. And so, you know, really, and we went to a functional or an integrative medicine provider. I didn't go to kind of a traditional, you know, 15-minute appointment. We went for a very deep dive with a lot of labs and really came up with nothing. And she referred us to a neurologist, and through kind of several neurology appointments and a long winding road, he ended up with the diagnosis of early onset Alzheimer's disease. And it just floored me. I mean, again, I was an engineer, right? And I was working in robotics at the time. And so you think about a surgical robot, right? It's a really complex system. And when something goes wrong, there's always a root cause, right? Like there's a reason, there's a software bug, there's an electrical failure, there's a mechanical failure. And I just was flabbergasted that I was going to doctor after doctor, and they're like, well, nothing's wrong. He just has Alzheimer's. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, that's a symptom. That's not why he's getting it, because he had no genetic predisposition. He was doing all the things that they say for brain health, you know, like eat a Mediterranean diet, exercise. He had no, you know, no comorbidities. And I'm like, it just doesn't make sense, because he was so young without any of those risk factors. And he was also declining really, really fast. Mm. And so just all of the research I said this doesn't fit, nothing's right. But yet doctor after doctor just basically said, nope, come back in 6 months and we'll track his decline. You're like, well, that's fantastic. So he was about 60 at the time that he was diagnosed. So he's older than I am, but still very young. And I raged against the diagnosis for a while, but really came up empty. And, you know, as just through happenstance, we figured out through my family. So my brother, his wife at the time was having a similar issue, well, a different issue, but, you know, similar cause. And it turned out that the root cause of her chronic symptoms was actually tick-borne. And she tested positive for the three Bs, you know, Borrelia, Bartonella, and Babesia. And my brother's a doctor. So he started researching and he was like, okay, you know, I think this is what's also going on with Russ, because there's a lot of things I'm seeing in the literature about links to neuroborreliosis and cognitive issues and so forth. And so he was the one that convinced me to get him retested. And then that was when I figured out that he was actually positive again for the three Bs, you know, Borrelia, Bartonella, and Babesia. And, but at that point, it was 15 months after our first appointment. It was about 12 months after he was diagnosed with late stage Alzheimer's disease. You know, so his PET scan and the scan of his brain basically showed he was already in the late stages. And I was just figuring it out. I'm like, what do you mean? You know? And so, you know, to make a long story short, we treated and he had a lot of ups and downs. It really is a roller coaster, but the cognitive piece just really never improved. You know, I kind of liken it to a forest fire, right? Like if a little portion of the forest is on fire, it's easy to put out, but when the whole thing's ablaze, mm-hmm. you know, you're really behind the eight ball and it's hard to get that fixed. And so he didn't end up improving cognitively, and I placed him in a resident care facility in 2019, and then he passed away in January of 2022. So, and that's a problem and a challenge that was really hard for me to walk away from, right? You know, I mean, as an engineer, as an entrepreneur, as a person who likes to fix things and make things better, it was clear that that was going to become the passion for the rest of my life, is fixing the problem and trying to figure out how I can make a difference.
Absolutely. 110%. You know, so is that part of the reason the book that you wrote, What Lurks in the Woods, probably came out of that? Is, you know, a lot of us, the reason why we're doing this is to continue to bring awareness, right? So that nobody else has to slip through those cracks anymore. We've been gaslighted by the medical community for way too long. And a lot of it was pure ignorance. You know, I don't think a lot of times it was, you know, like some malicious thing, although there is some of that going on as well. But, you know, the ignorance needs to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was sharing our story, because I knew a little bit. I mean, as I said, I grew up in Massachusetts, and so I knew more about Lyme than a lot of people, just because I remember going to Martha's Vineyard as a kid and my mother freaking out, like, don't go in the grass, and you know, there's lots of ticks. And so I knew about Lyme. I also had worked in diagnostics, so I had heard that the Lyme diagnostics weren't very good. But at the same time, and even as an engineer and as somebody, you know, pretty well versed in this space, when a doctor tells you that you're going down the wrong hole, you know, then you're like, okay, that seems to make sense. You're the expert, right? And I just hadn't heard of the linkage in the way that we were experiencing of these pathogens and some of these disease states, right? You still think of Lyme as the rash, the fever, the fatigue, the joint pain, all of which just didn't seem to fit the model. And as I learned, I realized it was so much more than that. And it was so linked to so many different types of chronic illness and states that, again, I wanted to share the story. And so writing the book was a lot about that. But honestly, Heather, it was really just about getting my life back together again, because I had to make sense of it all. I had to organize it. I had lived in so much chaos between his illness, and then dementia brings this whole other set of chaos, because there was just stuff everywhere. There were pieces that didn't fit. And so for me to go back through and just parse out and make sense of it all, that was a huge part of my healing journey, was really to figure it out and to make some sense of it in my brain. And when I started the process, honestly, it was like, if I only do this for me and for the kids, if I don't come up with a book that I'm comfortable sharing, then that's okay. That's enough, because my health and my healing and my journey in that realm is worth it. But then when I was finished, I realized that I had to share it, because other people have to figure that out.
110%. So I do talk about the gifts of Lyme quite often, like I said, and I'm met with, you know, hate mail and stuff like that. Cause sometimes people, once they get that diagnosis, they kind of wear it like a cloak of honor, right? It's a comfortable thing that they've then become the diagnosis, and they can't see their way out, right? You can't see the forest for the trees type of thing. And really, when you can unravel that, that's when healing starts to happen. and learning that there is, you know, there's always a gold, you know, there's always a silver lining. So how did you use that strategy to power change? Like, what kind of change are you powering?
So the first was really to dive into the research, right? So there's a lot of misconceptions and confusions. And when I was a caregiver, I started to research because, again, I like science, right? And my entire career has taught me if you just look hard enough for the answers, you'll figure it out. And as I looked harder as a caregiver trying to navigate his medical journey, I just got more and more confused. I was like, well, wait a second. Like, what in the world is going on? And so that, and I didn't have the bandwidth to really parse it out and figure it out the best that I could, because I was managing two young children, managing my job, managing his health. And so fortunately, I got the opportunity a little over a year ago to work with the Center for Lyme Action. And, you know, Bonnie Crater, who is the founder of CLA, you know, she read my book and I connected with her and she's like, hey, I have this project for you. We want to write a summary of the state of Lyme disease research to basically send to congressional staffers and educate them on the facts and the science. Because again, there's so much misinformation out there and there's so much that it's hard to distill what, you know, what the science is actually saying and make the case. And so, it was a huge daunting project. But I agreed to take it on for a couple of reasons. One, it was what I had wanted to do when I was a caregiver, right? And really try and understand. And then two, I was really standing on the backs of a lot of great work from, you know, the Tick-Borne Disease Working Group and other organizations that had already done a lot of the legwork. And for me, it was really just about leveraging that and trying to figure out how to make it accessible for, you know, the average staffer, and for the average person, right? Because, you know, not a lot of people troll PubMed and, you know, scientific literature in the way that I like to. And so that was a fantastic opportunity because it was the ability to really show the implication of these pathogens. And particularly that one was on Lyme disease, but I have interests in all of the tick-borne pathogens. And show that the science is there that links it to chronic disease, and to show that, you know, the science is evident and why we have bad diagnostics and what the reasons behind that are and how we can do better and how we really need more research funding in this space to solve some of these critical problems. So I think that was the first major, you know, project. And then that kind of led me to the next step, but I'll stop just in case you want to ask questions.
Yeah, no, I had Bonnie on the podcast. It came out like a month ago, and I see your scarf behind you there. Yeah. I participated last year, wasn't able to participate this year because I was dealing with some really weird sleep stuff that I'm actually still kind of having issues with. And that's part of the reason why I'm losing words in the cognitive stuff, man. Once that starts to go, and you're cognizant of it, it's ridiculously scary to watch your brain start to disappear away from you. So what an amazing organization, though. Like, before that this came about, the amount of money that was being set aside for research and development and education was like next to none for Lyme disease. And then just in the short few years that it's been together, we're talking millions of dollars, still not even near what it needs to be, or like what AIDS is, or what some other things are that are actually not affecting as many people as Lyme disease. Go figure.
Yeah, no, it's a great organization with a lot of progress. And I think that it's very, you know, bipartisan, you know, really just trying to educate. I think that is what's needed in the space is, you know, take the emotion out of it and let's just focus on the science and try and figure out what this is. And then we're not saying, you know, or nobody's saying that we have all the answers. All we're saying is that we need to fund more research to find the answers. And that's the key. It's like, you know, the linkage, like, for example, I'm really bullish on the linkage between Bartonella and Borrelia in particular and dementia, because there's a lot of science that shows that that is an emerging issue. And does it mean all Alzheimer's patients are caused by that? No, I think other pathogens have in play and other body systems and other indications, come in play, but it's a meaningful percentage. And we just want to explore that and take advantage of the research dollars that are out there in Alzheimer's and put them towards an alternate hypothesis, which is basically the infection hypothesis. And so that's what they're calling for. And I believe that's what it's going to take in order to solve some of these challenges.
That's incredible. So speaking from a caregiver's point of view, you know, how did you take care of yourself during this process? And what did it take to kind of put your life back together and see some a semblance of normalcy again, if that's even a thing?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, in the early days, I didn't do a great job at all because I was trying to do all the things, you know, and what I try and tell people who are new to the journey is, you know, when you're a caregiver, particularly for somebody who's chronically ill or, you know, and even in dementia is a particular subset that's very challenging. And, you know, you're trying to do everything that you were doing, right? And then you're trying to do everything that that person was doing, right? Like, cause you had my partner, Russ, was doing a lot of stuff around the house and a lot of things for the kids. So I had my life that I was doing. Then I had his life that I had to take over and manage all that. And then I also had the job of managing his medical care. So it's like literally three full-time jobs that you're trying to do as one person. And it almost broke me.
I was going to say, I heard a lot of people who develop autoimmune diseases, you know, a lot of other health problems because the stress of that just.
Yeah, it takes a lot. And I think I've always been a go-getter and I'm like, I can do this. And everybody would ask me how I'm doing. And I'd be like, I'm fine. And I wasn't.
And how
fine.
Are you really, Nicole?
I was not fine. I think I did a couple of things that I think were really smart. One was I started journaling. That was really a way for me to get, I'm a ruminator, right? I have things that just loop in my head and I couldn't get the loops to stop. Like they were just circling and circling. And so one day I sat down and I'd never journaled. I had never really written other than technical writing. But one day I just sat down and I just started to write. And that really helped it get out of the loop and onto the page. It just gave it an outlet. And so I started doing it more frequently. And that eventually became the root of the book and trying to figure out, you know, I took that journey that I'd written and journaled and I had all those vivid memories. And put them into our story. And so that was really good that I did that. And then as I went along in my journey, I think I got a little bit better at reaching out to friends for help about, you know, doing things like meditating and sauna and breath work and exercise and not always putting myself last. I used to make a joke that the only thing lower than me on the totem pole was my car. You know, and so it was just like, you know, that's not the way that it should work. You really need to put yourself at the top, because if you're not at the top, you can't take care of anybody else. But it took me a while to get that. And as I went back and read through my journal entries as part of the writing the book, I realized how not okay I really was.
I mean, it is so, I hate to say it, but typical of us type A personality women, right? That's part of the reason why autoimmune and these type of diseases have a tendency to hit us a lot more too, is because one, it takes a lot longer for us to get diagnosed with things than it does our male counterparts. And two, we have a tendency to have to usually wear more hats than they do as well to kind of get the same job, respect, whatever, money as they do. And so it's, I mean, if I had a dime for every, you know, high performing female that, although that you weren't the one that got sick, I have to remind myself that. So you actually did the opposite. You were able to then put your own mask on and keep yourself from burning out. So how brilliant is that? Like I tell my clients all the time, the importance of journaling. I hated writing for the longest time, but I'm a spinner as well. And, you know, no matter what it is going on, you know, being able to write that down, it does something to your nervous system. It just kind of takes that bandwidth, that page off your screen there. And then you're able to, you know, focus on bigger, greater things. Right.
Yep. And it was, and I remember one thing that I did too, that when it got really bad, you know, towards the end, before he went into resident care, there were some really dark times and I couldn't write. I just couldn't get the thoughts. I couldn't get the headspace to write. So I just took my phone and I, you know, there's a little audio recording app and I would just speak to it and I would do an audio journal instead of a written journal. And I found that was helpful too. And I could go back to that and I could listen to it. Oh my gosh. I mean, like I said, when I did the book and I went back and listened to some of the things, there were definitely some dark times. And so I would say that, you know, I definitely had a dip in taking care of myself and I'm lucky that I was able to stay healthy. I mean, I definitely wasn't as healthy as I could have been, but emerge. And I really feel for people who are, especially in dementia, because, you know, most of the people who are caring for a spouse with dementia are not in their 40s like I was. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in their 60s or 70s or 80s. And right. I can't tell you how many people that I met where, like you said, that, you know, I talking to a caregiver and they're like, well, I had a stroke because I was managing my husband, or I had, you know, a fall, or, and it's just, it's so much. It really is the hardest job I've ever done. And it's really difficult. And I just tell people, you have to put yourself first because you can't be in service to anybody else if you're not well.
Amen. Say that louder for the people in the back. Like, yep. No. And I, it was funny. I just said that to my husband this morning too. I'm like, I am not starting work before 9:45 anymore because I need to get my meditation in. I need to get my workout in. I need to get my morning. We have a morning gratitude practice that we started doing now. You know, I'm like, I need to get that foundation set before yeah. I'm good for anybody else for the rest of the day. I'm sick of putting myself on the back burner, and starting today, I'm not. I switched yep. my calendar around, and now I don't start before 9:45 in the morning. And that's, you know, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Yeah. I did the same
thing. It's your life.
I know. I did the same thing at the beginning of this year. Cause I was, you know, I've started working again, which is the next phase, but you know, it was just, I wasn't getting my workout in. I wasn't getting the time in. And I said, you know what? That's not okay. Like, it's just not okay because I have to take care of myself. So, it's number one.
Absolutely. I have to practice what I preach, and I'm normally pretty good at that, but I still have that tendency to overserve, right? And just try to be of service to everybody at all the times. And I just can't. I started gaining like 30 pounds this last year. My sleep started getting funky, and I was just like, okay, I got to wrangle this back in because I know where I'm headed if yeah. I don't, you know?
Right. Exactly. So,
what are the little last nuggets do you kind of want to drop on people before we sign off today? You know, little glimmers of hope, you know, things that you found, things that you found that have benefited since his passing. Like, what are some of the things that you've been able to bring to fruition?
Well, I think, you know, the next chapter of what I'm working on. So in addition to sharing the story, as I said, I'm an entrepreneur and I like to solve problems. And so the diagnostics piece is the big one. Right. You know, so many people go astray because they get the wrong diagnosis. And so as part of that whole survey of the research and the literature, I knew I wanted to get back into diagnostics. And so I looked at all the things that are out there, all the literature, and I think there's a lot of intriguing and promising approaches out there. As part of that journey, I really became enamored with the work that's going on at NC State and Dr. Ed Braishwart and his lab at Bartonella. And then that led to the spin out of Galaxy Diagnostics, which is what I'm doing now. So I joined the company a little under a year ago. So I'm now at Galaxy really trying to help scale the business because in terms of the science and the challenges that they have in diagnostics, they're leading on the scientific front. And so I want to bring that to more patients. And so I think in terms of tidbits, again, the research is out there and there are solutions that are better, and it's coming. It's not easy. You're not going to find it with your first doctor. You're not going to find it with your second doctor or even your eighth doctor necessarily. But if you can get in the right place, there are technologies and there are solutions out there that are better than, you know, the standard of care. And so I'm excited because I think we have a lot of great opportunities for direct detection and different things that Galaxy's doing that I think are really going to make a difference for patients. So that's kind of the next chapter of where I'm headed, and I'm excited. And, you know, you also mentioned the gifts of Lyme. I think one of the gifts of Lyme that I've seen is just all the amazing people that I've met and the advocates, the people who care so deeply because it's literally taken everything away from them, you know, whether it's a spouse or their own health or their child or, you know, when you see a problem that big, you become passionate. And I've met the most amazing people that I love to work with on the advocacy side, on the technology side, and then just, you know, people like yourself that are just doing everything that you can with your skill set to just make a difference and raise awareness. It's been a gift for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the shameless plug area of the show. So where can people find you, and what are you putting out there these days?
So I have a website, NicoleDanielleBell.com, and that has a lot of the work that I've done on the advocacy side, media links. I've got a collaboration with Lyme Warrior where we do informational videos and research interviews and all sorts of things. You can also learn more about Galaxy, at Galaxy Diagnostics or GalaxyDX.com and some of the testing there. And then finally, I would say you can learn probably more than you would ever like to learn about me by reading my book, which is What Lurks in the Woods. And that's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or any place.
Audible yet?
It's not. So I have a collaboration with Lyme Warrior where we're going to do an audiobook, and I still need to do the editing of it. And so that's coming, but it's not out there yet.
Good, good, good. Awesome. I was just talking with Dr. Diane Mueller of My Lyme Doc yesterday, and her book is amazing. But I told her, I'm like, I just never sit down long enough to read anything. Like, you got to get this on Audible so I can listen to it when I'm driving or walking. Cause you can't walk and read. That's not safe.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And I know a lot of people, that are in tick-borne illness, you struggle with the reading and the sitting down. And so it's definitely been on my radar for a while. It's just all the things, trying to.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to when that comes out for sure. And everybody, make sure to go check her out, follow her, learn more things. Like, she's doing incredible things in this world. And I'm super excited to see what's going to come out of Galaxy and how that's going to help turn the tide of these things. If you've heard anything in this show that inspired you, make sure that you share, like, and subscribe, because that's how we get this information out into the world. And we get the ignorance gone, right? We're educating, we're informing, we're bringing awareness so that nobody else has to go through what Nicole has gone through, what I've had to go through, what so many others are going through with Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. So thank you, Nicole, for taking time out of your extremely busy life to be with us today. Like, I'm so honored and really excited for this episode to come out.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and hope maybe we can get together and tag again sometime.
Absolutely. Have a good one, everyone. Have a healthy day. Make sure to share the love, like, subscribe, and share. This information is potentially life-saving. Don't keep it to yourself. Make sure to help spread this message. And if you want to experience less pain, have a brain that works, and have more energy, it starts in the kitchen. Download my free 8-video cooking series, Real Cooking for Real Life. No more excuses. Take charge of your health. Start with the free video series at www.thelimeboss.com. That's LYME. Thank you. Have a blessed day.